Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
1 hour left to go before we take you to 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. You can check us out on the Always Live and Free Odyssey app. If you want to keep the conversation going with me off social media, it is at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. Told you we keep you up to speed all show long on Knicks and Celtics. Boston with an 8-point lead with about 5:20 and counting left to go in regulation. I still can't believe game one went the way that it did. Boston, 45 three-point attempt misses, the most ever in an NBA postseason game. We'll keep you up to speed on the latest with Knicks and Celtics before we get out of here. Right now, though, I would say we go out to the guest hotline, but I feel like the cage got a wired connection, so he's able to plug right in here to us in studio. Our pal Chris Russell, he's not a caged animal when he's out covering the Washington Capitals. That's when I actually look at him as a buttoned-up, polished media What's going on?
That's the only time that you look at me as a buttoned-up polished media member?
I knew you would love that. Before I do anything, can we are we hanging out Friday? You're gonna get breakfast with me after we watch Commanders rookie minicamp?
Guy, I do a show right during the middle of practice. The Commanders hate me. They schedule
when practice
during the offseason.
I thought practice was at 9.
No, it's at 1 o'clock, 1:15.
Oh, great, so I can get my hair cut before I go.
Oh, wow.
Yes!
You can put on some shea butter, too. I mean, for God's sakes.
Here we go.
We want to make sure we look good for DQ.
I'm excited, man. Yeah. No, I just had Jory Epstein on. From YahooSports.com. She just did a sit-down with Jaden Daniels over the weekend. And, you know, talking to her last offseason when DQ was hired, you know, she formerly covered the Cowboys. And,
Yes. You
know, plenty of insight on them. I tried to give her some credit, Rooster. She kind of called the good vibes that DQ and company were bringing. Even not before you, though, is what I would say.
Yeah,
I feel like you were like probably the guy that was first on the scene when it came to Dan Quinn getting hired and you telling, you Ben Johnson, kiss my ass cheeks. One of the best sounders in all of sports talk radio. But the reason we brought you on, Rooster Pal, is we wanted to get your insight on the New York Knicks.
It's not to talk football, because I know you are the smartest football mind alive, because John Keim walked over to you and confirmed that Javonte Jean-Baptiste looked good in shorts.
Yeah. Well, no, this was not the shorts. This was in full pads. It was a joint practice, you nimwit. That's terrible. Are you upset that the Knicks are down 7 here, or do you think are you watching this? I'm sure you are.
I was watching a little bit.
I know you're watching.
I watched
Florida and Toronto.
Pritchard nail a 3-pointer just a little bit ago.
Yeah.
I'm not upset. I mean, I expected this. As a matter of fact,
they're playing well, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that the Knicks are hanging in there, you know, which I mean, listen, maybe the Celtics just aren't as good as everybody thought they were.
They take a lot
just
of threes.
Yeah, they take too many threes.
Yeah.
And you know that drives me crazy. I mean, 15, it already drove me crazy. 15 of 60 the other night. between that and gosh, how they handled that final possession,
yeah, Tatum
overtime,
got a job,
the first 2.5 minutes of overtime before Jaylen Brown got them going with a three. And then Jaylen Brown had a key turnover on a drive, on an aggressive drive. The Celtics just on Monday night, they not only deserve to lose one game the way they played down the stretch in that game and in the second half, they deserve to lose probably about six games for the price of one.
Yeah, it's what they've done all season long. They shoot the three at a high volume. It's just tough because to beat them in a playoff series, you got to hope they have four bad shooting nights. Mm-hmm. So that's just probably not realistic. I brought you on, though, realistically, though, to talk about what happened last night at Cap One Arena. I was listening to Coach Carberry post-game, and always very candid, well-spoken, never gets too riled up. But I thought there was some messaging sent last night in his post-game presser. What was your big takeaway from hearing Carbs and then your thoughts on the game overall?
Well, I was there. I was 7 feet away from him, and you could feel the heat the coming venom, out of his throat. I mean, it was an inferno that I have not seen in Spencer Carberry in 2 years, period. I think last year that he knew they were overmatched, and you know, nobody wanted to get swept, but it was the President's Cup winning Rangers and all of that stuff, right? He was frustrated, I'm sure. This was different. This was, we got thoroughly destroyed in just about every area with the exception of the scoreboard. And because of Logan Thompson, we were able to survive. And instead of losing 3 or 4 to 1 in regulation because Carolina hit a couple of posts, they blocked 32, 33 shots. Logan made some great glove saves, so on and so forth. Because of that, they were only able to lose in overtime and still give themselves chance after chance after chance of winning a game they had no business winning. So that was as mad as I've seen Carberry. The first question from Barry Sferluga, it was, you know, did you kind of see this coming? And he was like, yep. And that was it. And there was this awkward silence, and Sergey, the Caps PR guy, and everybody's looking around like, oh, my God, somebody answer a question before Carberry just walks off the stage here. And then he did answer one or two questions, including one from me about the lack of physicality and the hit advantage. So he did give me a pretty good answer on that. And he said one key thing at the end, Linnell. He said, you know, normally hits come from a good forecheck and working into the corners in the offensive zone. And he said, we had absolutely none of that. And he ain't wrong.
No, if you just box score watch this thing, you can kind of pick up what folks were putting down. Caps just 14 shot attempts last night. They were out hit 44-31. And one of the things coming into this series that, you know, I was talking to John Walton about was, can they, because they dominated the 5-on-5 matchup against Montreal, but could you work the special teams? Could you get your power play going here in this series? Only two opportunities last night. How do they get offense, though, Chris? For a team that was a juggernaut, hell on wheels scoring the puck throughout the regular season, we know that they can explode for 3 and 4 goals in a period, but are you at this point pushing the panic button on the Caps offense here?
Panic button would be probably strong. I mean, it is just one game. It is a big game. And it's
a tone-setting one at that.
And it's a real bad sign. Panic button, series over, as Kevin Sheehan asked me earlier today. No, I'm not ready to do that yet. Now, you lose and you play as poorly, you know, tomorrow night as you did last night. Probably yes. But let's get to that point first. Here's what I would say. A couple of things that come through my mind. And again, one of them is based off of Carberry's answer, but I was glad he answered it because that's exactly what I was kind of wondering and thinking, which is, in order to set up your offense and in order to keep possession of the puck and in order to pepper and set up your offense, whether it be at 5-on-5 or on the power play, you've got to forecheck and you've got to work and grind to get the puck south of the goal line or in the corners. And they didn't do that last night. It was missing. I don't know where it was. They didn't have any transition through the neutral zone for the most part. They had a couple of opportunities. Tom Wilson had a couple of opportunities at the side of the goal mouth. Nick Dowd had one in overtime that I thought maybe they would have won. Ryan Leonard had the break in, but there was no sustained puck movement tape to tape, pass to pass, through the neutral zone into the offensive zone. There was certainly no setting up. There was certainly no, like, hey, let's move the biscuit around and let's get a really good look and a couple of really good shots. There was one or two sequences like that. That's not enough over a 65-minute game.
Yeah, no, it's not. Do you credit Carolina and their physicality for kind of muddying things up for the Caps offensively? Or
yeah.
Do you think it was poor execution?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you got to give credit to Carolina, right? I think that's the wrong thing to do to say, well, this was all just the Capitals asleep at the wheel. You got to give credit to them. They're a good deep team, yeah. Offense and defense. Everyone knew that coming into the series. They can roll four lines. Montreal couldn't. They can roll four lines. Montreal had one good defenseman. They have six good defensemen. And even Dmitry Orlov, who won the cup here in 2018, you know, who hasn't had the best of years, he's like their fifth or sixth defenseman, and he's still fine,
yeah.
Right? This is a much, much deeper team than Montreal, number one. Number two, they play with a physical edge because that's their head coach and that's their identity and that's their DNA. The difference is, you know, Washington plays a physical or quote-unquote heavy game. They just don't have the speed and the transition that the Carolina Hurricanes have had for 6 years. That's the problem every time these two teams meet up. And I saw it just develop in front of my very own eyes in 2019 when they sucked. I mean, they suck, but they developed all sorts of speed and transition, and they were able to blow past people. And when you can skate and when you can skate away from people, what does that do? It limits the physical edge, and it, you know, takes you out of your game. And then all of a sudden you're chasing. And then on offense from a Capitals perspective, again, they kind of dismissed that the five-day layoff, but this team has never played well off of long layovers, number one. And number two, like, there was just no tape-to-tape passing. There was no, like, again, not only setting up the offense in the offensive zone, but through the neutral zone. There just wasn't enough of that. And I have to think that that changes tomorrow night. And if it doesn't, they'll be down 2-0, and they'll be going to Raleigh and in very much danger of getting swept.
Yeah, to your point about just the speed, my buddy was in attendance last night and had some good ticks, and I was texting him like, dude, you're bad luck, right? Because he's, you know, he knows that we get tickets here at the station, so he always says, hey, you know, if they ever give out some hockey tickets, man, look out for your boys. So I always try to do that. He was in the building last night, and the first thing that he texted me about when I'm asking him how it went, he just said, dude, I'm going to read you the exact quote that he gave you, man. He was talking about they're just so fast. And how fast they skate, and that really being the difference. He said, after tonight, they're clearly better. They just skate so much faster than Washington does. And, Chris, how hard is it to have that balance of they're heavy, they're tough, they're physical, but they've also got the speed to go with it? How long does it take to build a team like that? I'm almost looking at it by way of football.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having a top five defense and a top five offense.
No, it's a great analogy. It's a great point of comparison, even though it's two different sports. And I think you're right on. And like I said, first of all, it's the DNA of the head coach.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you probably don't remember Rod Brindamore as a player, but he was gritty. He was tough. He was, skilled enough, but he wasn't like super fast. But when you understand what today's NHL really is about, which is speed, skill, and transition, and then you have that grit and that toughness and that mental tenacity that the Carolina Hurricanes have built here under Rod Brindamore and their general manager and their front office structure. But it's taken them, as I mentioned, I remember, Liddell, in 2019, watching them in a preseason game, and this was the September after the Caps won the Cup, and they were, I want to say they had the number two overall pick in the draft that year, meaning coming into that year, and they took Andrei Svechnikov, who's their top line winger, who, you know, scored six goals so far in the postseason, and I was like, wow, like even in a preseason game, you could see that speed and skill, and you could see what they were building, right? And then again, when you get guys to buy into the way that the coach played and the way that the coach believes, and then you combine that, like you said, it's kind of like having a top five offense and a top five defense, which is really hard to assemble. I mean, really hard to assemble. So The one thing that they've kind of been short in is goal. In goal, Frederik Andersen is really talented. He's big. He's athletic. But he hadn't been able to stay healthy. And including in the New Jersey series, he missed the final game, one that went into double overtime. But he was back last night. I'd like to say he was really good, but he wasn't super tested.
I was about to say,
he was good when he had to be, but he wasn't super tested outside of the Protas goal, which, you know, was not a great goal that he allowed. But that's the point, is if they pepper him, I'd be very surprised tomorrow night if the Capitals don't have at least 25 shots on goal, which is still low in my eyes. Yeah. Like, Carolina takes a lot of shot attempts, and everybody's talking about the shot attempt disparity. Sure, that's important, but the Caps knocked a bunch of those down. They blocked a bunch of those shots. That's why the shot block total was so high.
It's more about good shots. Yeah.
But I do believe in, of course you want quality, but I do believe in quantity in hockey from the standpoint of, you know, in the NBA, if you hoist up 100 shots, there might be, I don't know, 30 of those shots or 25 of those shots that are poor shots, right? In the NHL, if you get, let's just say 35 shots on goal and maybe 95 shot attempts, right? Somewhere in that range. Not every shot attempt is going to get through to the net. Not every shot attempt is going to put the defense or the goaltender on its heels. But what you're doing is you're keeping control of the puck, one. And two, you're making it hard to clear out and hard to kind of get reset on your offense and to get going up the ice in transition. So to me, like, it's, of course you want quality, but when I'm struggling to get quality, I'll take quantity instead of quality, or I'll take quantity period instead of nothing, because at least quantity gives you a chance. It's not like in the NBA where it's either the basket goes in or it doesn't go in, right? Or maybe you need a friendly bounce of the rim. In hockey, it's, hey man, if I get the shot through, you never know what can happen. It can bounce off the goaltender and I can get a rebound. It can bounce off of somebody's skate and it goes in, or it takes a weird hop, or something. You just never know. That's why it's important to me. Yes, of course you want quality. I get that. But if you can't get quality for whatever reason, you gotta get quantity. And the Capitals had none last night. And the Canes, again, they didn't have so much quality, but they had a lot of quantity.
For sure. Chris, I appreciate you joining me. The Knicks and Celtics, I mean, the choke job we're seeing by Boston, incredible. They just took a one-point lead after they just completely parted the Red Sea and let Jason Tatum get a free dunk to the basket. We'll see what happens with your old Knickerbockers. Good luck, I guess, friend.
Yeah, well, thanks, Linnell. I just flipped that game back on, and listen, that's a great drive.
Good screen as well.
You know, Jaylen Brown had a similar drive to that the other night in overtime and turned the ball over. So, you know, that's good to see from a Celtics perspective. But, yeah, you have to kind of wonder, right? Like, what's going to – I mean, the Knicks were a great defense.
As bad as the Knicks looked against Detroit, I didn't think this series was going to go well for them.
And yeah. Well, the Knicks weren't a great defensive team during the regular season either. They had lost an edge with all the guys that they subtracted in the addition of Karl Anthony Towns, right? They had lost some of their – whatever it is, their mental tenacity, machismo.
For sure. And it's weird.
And yet they're showing it tonight for the most part. And certainly in the third quarter, midway through the third quarter plus, and into overtime on Monday night. So that's, you know, that's really good to see. And those are the teams, quite honestly, like, I mean, right, you know this. Why is Golden State able to win on the road against Minnesota without Steph Curry outside of 13 minutes? Why were they able to beat the Houston Rockets? It's not because Steph's bombing away. Buddy Hield and all that. It's because they're playing a lot of good defense.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you can play good defense, you can win games even if your shot isn't falling.
Chris, we appreciate you, man. We'll be tapped into you tomorrow, 1 to 4 p.m. on our sister station, the Team 980. I'll see you soon, my friend.
You got it, Nell. I appreciate you.
That is Chris Russell, one of the absolute best, talking all things Washington Capitals. He was in attendance the other night, and I thought he hit it right on the head, too. I was able to pick it up from listening, and Rooster was right across the aisle from him. Carbs was pissed the other night. And we'll see if he's able to light a fire under those Washington Capitals. Knicks and Celtics tied at 90 with 12.7 seconds left to go in regulation. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll recap all things NBA postseason before Bobby Blanco joins us coming up here on The Fan. Back-to-back blown 20-point leads for the Celtics, bro. They fall to the New York Knicks at home, 91-90. I can't believe it, bro. I'm, like, legitimately stunned. So it was a 21-2 run that the Knicks went on. And apparently Joe Mazzulla didn't call one timeout during that entire run. And this is something he's done during the regular season. Jason Tatum stunk tonight, 5 of 19, couldn't hit the wide side of a barn. Boston was 10 of 40 from 3. 10 of 40 from 3.
It's what they get.
I mean,
what they get for shooting too many threes.
I mean, it's...
This isn't how basketball is meant to be played.
I'm literally at a loss of words, bro. Because they have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Two guys that get downhill to the basket at will.
Do you see how happy Shaq looks right now?
I mean, that's...
They just showed him and Kenny dancing.
Like, look at this, man. They're two games worth of missed three-pointers, the most ever in playoff history. I can't believe what the hell we're watching, man. And Tatum played like dog doo-doo. Like, it was terrible the way Tatum played. The Celtics are too good of a damn team. I'm going to give credit to the Knicks, though, man. You know why? I was on their ass. Honestly, because they didn't look good against Detroit. I thought it would be a gentleman's sweep here. But, boy, the New York Knicks, man. Wow. Mitchell Robinson played great in this game for New York. Thought he should have probably got some more minutes. Knicks didn't shoot it particularly well. They shot 43% from the field. Boston shot 36% from the field. It was a rock fight. But Boston, even that last possession, bro, with Tatum turning it over the way that he did, just got to be better than that. Take a quick timeout when we come back. We'll talk a little Nats baseball with the guy Bobby Blanco. He joins us next here on The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50. and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
I mean, we're back here on overtime, about 20 minutes left to go here in the program. I can't believe what the hell Boston just did down the stretch. We're getting ready to switch gears, and we'll talk some Nats baseball here with our pal Bobby Blanco from Masson.com. I just am absolutely beside myself at just some of the most horrific late-game execution you will ever see from the Boston Celtics. Tatum dribbles into the damn double team. I can't believe what the hell we just watched. I honestly can't. We go from one struggling team to another. Right now on the guest hotline is where we find our pal Bobby Blanco, who covers the Nats for Masson.com. Bobby, I appreciate you making some time for us here tonight. What's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm actually kind of glad. I guess I missed that end of that basketball game. But, that's back-to-back debacles by the Celtics. Them and the Nats bullpen are fighting for the worst debacles of the week.
I was about to say, man, what was it, a six-run inning or an eight-run inning today in the sixth, man? What do you make of the bullpen struggles of the Nats? And I've been asking our producer in here tonight, young Ben Strober, like, do you think they are competitive enough at deadline time for them to make a move to get a legitimate piece added to this bullpen?
Yeah, it was an eight-run top of the sixth today against the Guardians. They had a 3-0 lead, and just all blew up. Michael Soroka making his start, coming off the IL after 5 weeks.
Looked pretty good.
He did for five innings, yeah. And that sixth inning didn't go so well. Not completely his fault. Some of it was just bad luck. I mean, I think it was Santana hit a perfectly placed ball down the line for a three-run double to tie the game. But Jorge Lopez comes in, allows three more runs. Andrew Chafin came in, his third outing with the team since they acquired him signed him last week. He allowed a run. It was just, snowballing effect after the team had a lead. And they did this yesterday, too, in the second part of the doubleheader, a close game for much of that game, mm-hmm. and it got away from them. The first game of the doubleheader kind of went the same way, but the Nats were able to, rally and win the game. But, when it comes to being competitive at the deadline, I mean, they're competitive now,
right,
in these games. Like, if you're watching these games and the starting pitching has been really good. Like we just said, Soroka was impressive in his first major league start in 5 weeks, for the most part. The offense has been pretty solid. I mean, I think I feel like they're scoring at a higher rate than we saw them all last year, at least more consistently. I mean, I know you can nitpick and say that, they left a lot of runners on base. They went 4-for-19 runners in scoring position today. But you score 6 runs in a game when you're pitcher was shutting him out over the first 5 innings, you should win that ballgame.
Right.
So I just think the biggest issue right now is the bullpen, and it's been a roller coaster ride from the start of the season. Some weeks they're great, some weeks they're terrible, and now they are statistically the worst bullpen in all of baseball, and it's not even particularly close. So, I think if you're the Nationals, if you're Mike Rizzo, you're looking at this team and you've been saying all along that we are going to be a competitive team, we're going to try to make a push this year, then you have to make a move sooner rather than later. I mean, I don't know who's, there aren't a lot of relievers available on the trading block right now. They did cut ties with Colin Poche and added Andrew Chafin last week, but clearly something else needs to change too, because this bullpen is giving up games and it's costing them games. You're looking at the Nats now 17-21. They would probably be closer to 500 and maybe a little above 500 if they had even a decent bullpen.
I totally agree with you, my friend, and that's the frustrating part about this. I kind of feel for Davey and company, because I think their comments coming out of spring training and how demonstrative they were about, like, hey, we're not rebuilding. We're ready to go. We're trying to compete and go out and win a game, every afternoon. Honestly, throughout the first, we're getting close to, 40 games into this thing, they're right. This is a competitive young group. They just need some resources added to this bullpen. You mentioned Soroka coming back, and he looked well, looked pretty good today before, obviously, the debacle in the sixth. But it in turn, I would think, Bobby, it moves Brad Lord back to the pen, and they're going to be able to rely on him to eat up innings when we see some of these blow-up performances?
Yeah, definitely. And that's exactly what they did. Brad Lord right now sitting in the bullpen. And he started the game last night, so you know he's not going to be pitching for at least the next 5 days anyway. Maybe he can get in, you know, Friday's game, because that would be his technically bullpen day anyway, so you can maybe get an inning out of him if absolutely necessary. I would imagine they would try to avoid that, though. Uh-huh. Optioned Eduardo Salazar down to AAA Rochester. You know, I mean, I don't want to steer away from your question, but, you know, I was curious how they would handle that, because I think there was an argument to be made to send Brad Lord back down to AAA and have him continue to stretch out as a starter, because he proved that he's been good and he can do that job pretty well. And there is almost nobody down there right now that I would trust to come up to make a spot start for them or make a number of starts for them if, knock on wood, someone else suffers an injury like Soroka just did.
Yeah.
But I digress. So the move that they made, yes, Brad Lord has been pitching well. Moving him to the bullpen does help lengthen out that pen a little bit. He can go multiple innings if necessary. He can hopefully, ideally, you know, in the spot after, you know, he's rested up, can give you a good, solid, high leverage inning if necessary. Because they need help. And, you know, Jorge Lopez, an offseason addition, while he just had recently a really solid stretch, and I think pitched a couple of innings yesterday in the win, and it was credited for the win, actually. Yeah, he's now 5-0.
He's undefeated, yeah.
Yeah, which is just a weird stat. But he gets beat up a little bit today, so not as reliable as you would think. Lucas Sims is still struggling. You know, after they cut ties with Colin Pache last week, I wonder how short the leash is for Sims with this team. Right now, their most reliable arms are obviously Kyle Finnegan, recorded his 100th save yesterday. He's, you know, relatively reliable in the closer role. But Cole Henry and Jackson Relich have been the two rookies who are now just recently moved from the start as a starter to a reliever, have been the most trusted arms in this pen for Davey Martinez. And, you know, it's one thing, a good thing to have, it's a good developmental, good organizational decision to move those guys, but also it's a bad thing that you are now counting on guys who were, you know, literally competing for rotation spots, you know, a couple months ago, literally, for in Cole Henry's case, didn't know if he was ever going to pitch again a couple of years ago, you know, being high-leverage guys in their, you know, rookie season. So I don't know. I think that they do need help right there because, like I said, they're costing them games, and this team would be a lot better off if they were just even, you know, a mediocre pen at this point.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. The Cole Henry story, absolutely awesome, Bobby, as you mentioned, knowing the adversity that he's been able to overcome. What do we got to do to see more of these guys, though? What is it, a trust thing? Is it going to take more, you know, a couple of good innings? Is it something that, you know, takes a month or two to happen? Or do you think that, you know, they start getting called upon more regularly?
Yeah, no, I think it is partly a trust thing, and I think they're earning it. I think Cole Henry specifically, I mean, you look at his ERA, I know it's 4.09 right now, but that is outrageously inflated by one bad outing. He gave up five. He was basically left to hang out to dry in that, what was it, 2019 to 5 loss against the Mets last week. And he was basically the cleanup guy for that game and was charged with 5 runs. But 7 out of his 8 innings, or outings, I should say, including today, have been scoreless. So outside of that one outing, he has an ERA of 0, and he struck out 11 to just 3 walks. And he's got a whip well under 1,000. So he's been unbelievably good out of the pen. And I think the more and more we get to go along, he continues to put up zeros, continues to show that he can handle this. I think the more Davey's going to have to trust him. I think it's going to be a little bit of both, right? Like, Cole's going to deserve it, but I think we're going to see that Davey doesn't really have any other choice because these other guys are so unreliable at this time. He's going to have to try to give Cole and Jackson Relich more high-leverage innings and tight ball games and see if they can get big outs for them. And if they can, great. That's another great story for this team. If they can't, we're kind of back to square one. But for right now, Cole and Jackson, I feel like, have earned the right to at least get an attempt at some high leverage innings moving forward.
Bobby, we appreciate you making some time for us as always, my friend. It feels like, you know, this appointment with you on the radio was just about trashing the bullpen. We will have you on again next week, my friend. I plan on doing weekly, bi-weekly check-ins with you as we move throughout this long national season. Keep up the good work, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. Hey, James Wood homered yesterday. Don't sleep on him.
I was about to say, look, there's plenty of positive things we could have talked about, but we were up against it. I appreciate you as always, though, Bobby.
All right. Have a good night, Linnell. Thanks.
Yes, sir. That is Bobby Blanco, who covers and adds from Aston.com. He mentioned James Wood on the way out. He hit home run number 10 yesterday. And then Nathaniel Lowe, RBI number 28 and 29 on the season. We'll put a bow on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime coming up next.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Big thank you to all of you that chimed in with us on the phones here this evening on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. We appreciate you. Big thank you to Jory Epstein. Big thank you to our guy Chris Russell. Big thank you to our guy Bobby Blanco. Big thank you to young Ben Strober behind the glass. Quadruple tasking at the moment. Ben is such a trooper that he's going to pull what we used to call the Linnell Willingham. That is staying here after hours. Ben Strober, you are waking up bright and early tomorrow morning to produce one of the top sports talk radio morning shows in the history of sports talk radio shows in the morning. The old Sports Junkies. Your first time doing the Junkies?
That's correct.
You're in for a treat. Hopefully, Well, I think all four of them should be in tomorrow. You know how that goes. I mean, you got four guys that are super busy that all have wives, kids, and families. There are going to be some call-outs every now and then. But excited for you, man. You and your boss, drab t-shirt. You're going to be doing your boss's job because your boss stinks at running the board. Always appreciate you all chiming in. If you want to keep the conversation going with me on social media, it is at NELL_BTP. Back with you Saturday, right here on The Fan.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.